It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't love Junior Mints. I just don't hate them. I don't understand why they are treated like second-class candy.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Oh, there's a, you there's don't a understand why a candy that is basically toothpaste wrapped up in stale chocolate is treated like a second-class candy. All right, I get it. It's a good, valid question.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Is there a time to change? You know, the three teams I've drafted this year, second-class candy is pretty good.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Candy. Halloween.
I just said to my wife this afternoon, Thursday. I gotta get candy. I've been walking past the candy for a month. I usually wait until the last minute. Well, here we are.
The only reaction the candy ever gets from me is when it's out for the first time and you're like, oh, this is offensive. It's August 8th. Do we really need to be fronting the Reese cups on August 8th? Like, is it really that time of year yet? No. And then I sort of never look at it again. Right. It's not something I ever buy. But you're right. It's 2 days away.
Time to go. It's all been picked over by now, too. So, you know, you're in tough.
Really? Everybody's out of candy?
Not out of candy, but on the day, like, I don't think I'm going to make it today. And then, so tomorrow, day before, yeah, it's like going for Christmas lights on Christmas Eve. Yeah, you're in tough.
You're getting Junior Mints.
You're getting whatever you can get.
Where you live,
I wouldn't stoop to that. I would cut up apple pieces and wrap them up and put. No, I'm kidding. I would never give out apples.
What was the thing we talked about? Whether it was appropriate for Halloween, like 2 weeks ago?
Condoms. No, that was not.
That's when Sal filled in.
No,
I was not there for that conversation.
Yeah, that was me and Trista on DM.
It was something else. No, we had the fun meeting, the fun team meeting at work.
Of course, I wasn't involved.
One of our sales reps said, "Oh, what was it? Bars? No, it wasn't bars. It was something like that, though. Like Lunchables? No, it was something that." Is it okay? Remember this? Is it okay if I give this out?
Carrot sticks or something?
Was it ramen?
Ramen.
It was the cup of noodles.
Cup of noodles. Good job,
Thank
Zach.
You.
Yes.
Thank you.
Right.
It was cup of noodles.
Right. And you were like, I think if my daughter came home with a cup of noodles, I'd like that.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Does she need a ninth? Three musketeers? No. Eight is plenty.
Yeah.
You got eight and a cup of noodles. That's great. Oh, you want to have a candy bar? Great. Here's an actual, quote, meal first. Cup of noodles. I support it. Our Halloween party is on Thursday.
Don't ring this guy's doorbell on Halloween.
Nobody ever does. I'm not doing it. Nobody ever comes to our house.
Oh, that's too bad.
For who?
For you.
Yeah, not for people. People don't want to come to our house.
No, why would they? But for you, like, I might be making it sound like a chore. Simply, I've neglected getting the Halloween candy, which I do every year until the day before Halloween, and then I'll go get some. And I love sitting out there on Halloween. Except for that one year when I went to go clear the some leaves piled up in the sewer in the street right in front of my house, and it was raining. So I went to clear the leaves so that there wasn't a big lake at the end of my street for people trying to walk and go trick-or-treating. So I went and was clearing out the leaves, and I left the bowl of candy on the porch. And by the time I got back, some neighborhood youths, some toughs, some ruffians on dirt bikes, okay, they didn't have dirt bikes, had just the bowl was still spinning when I got back to the porch.
Like, the outsiders.
They just cleaned me out. I'm like, oh, no, it's like 7:30. I got to have an hour to go.
It's so bad.
But you generally, aside from that one isolated, awful
Pony Boy came by.
Yes.
Ripped you apart.
Just ripped us off.
Pony Boy.
I love sitting out there and seeing the kids, and it's a good time. And the weather's supposed to be, I'll say great.
70s.
I mean, holy cow.
Yeah.
That was the worst when you were a kid and your mother was going to make your father, I suppose, put your parka on or like some sort of at least medium heavy jacket or coat. Because it's 45 degrees or even cooler, and you know, I got a Batman suit on. They're gonna be able to see my cape with this parka on. You're ruining my costume. And all I have is this stupid plastic mask, and I'm breathing in it, and it's gross, and it smells horrible by the third doorbell I ring. But I got the mask, but no cape. The cape's the whole thing.
Did you ever have an OJ jersey? You would wear the parka over the OJ jersey in those days?
I did go as football. I didn't have an OJ jersey.
You
but
couldn't
I did,
get jerseys.
No, I'm sure I went as football player at some point. Hockey player. I had all the hockey gear. I played hockey since I was in third grade, so I had that. But, yeah, jacket. I can remember even, yeah, big jacket over the hockey gear.
Yeah, like you see that a lot.
Like
in
I was going
games.
To a practice in February or something. When I was little enough to have to dress at home.
If you played in Depew, though, you would actually wear the coat.
That's right, because that was cold.
Because they did not have
there were no walls back in the day. Right.
That's right. The first Halloween costume I can remember having and wearing is C-3PO.
All right.
So it was like a suit, like a vinyl
sure.
kind of suit.
And that had to have the plastic
and
mask.
And the gold.
The, right.
Yeah, like the plastic gold
right.
head.
Right.
Which, I don't know, like, that's not bad.
No, that's pretty solid.
It's store-bought.
It's pretty solid.
But that's what that's the first costume I can ever remember wearing in my life is C-3PO, which I'd wear this week. I'd go back to it.
This my not being interested in participating in the Halloween festivities at work, I'm now realizing, is very well-rooted in my childhood. Like, I did not really ever dig in. On what do you want to be? I was the guy like, Mom, do we have an old bed sheet? Like, that was me. We cut some holes in it. Okay, great. I'm a ghost. Again.
All right. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, we're in the lobby at Roswell Park today, and it's a great honor to be here. We'll talk to Ross Tucker coming up at 5. We've got open lines this hour, 803-0550, talking about the AFC. The developments of the weekend. We have a trade today again, Baltimore adding Deontay Johnson. And I want to talk about the Steelers too, off their win last night. Are we to take them seriously? 6-2? How seriously is it right to take the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think it might be right. Hear me out. Really, you weren't going to interrupt me. I maybe take them as seriously as I'm taking the Houston Texans. And I know that might like that's probably not what a lot of people – I've not ever thought the Texans deserved, like, super contender status, right, top three or four in the conference, on a par with Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City. I always felt like they were a little notch below, and maybe most people think that. I don't know. But they were getting a lot of love in the offseason, and they have the record. They look good. But I think Pittsburgh, they're gonna run it. They're gonna take their shots. Russell's gonna throw his moon balls, and you know those aren't high percentage throws. But you got Pickens down there. He's gonna grab a few of them, and you've got those pass rushers, man. Like that is just such a menace. Watt and Highsmith both. I mean, what a nightmare they were last night for the Giants.
The Giants are their own.
Well, that's
worst
right. I mean, the Giants are a particular kind of inept.
I wanted that for the picks. I thought I had it. I mean, underdogs. There are. We've talked about this, like you and I. There are people that bet favorites or pick favorites and just roll with it. We'll see. You know, you had the Chiefs. Maybe you didn't, but you could have had the Chiefs in Vegas, and they're giving like 9, and they win by 7, right? And it's like, I've got the Chiefs. I'm just going to see what happens here. Like, they're the better team. They'll win the game. One way or another, I'm going to cover that number. And I'm more the Raiders type. Like, I liked the Raiders in that game.
Right.
And it's not to pick that game out because that one hit, but it's like Cincinnati Bearcats. Same thing happened on Saturday night in that game against the Buffs. And then this game last night, give me the 6.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody thinks the Giants are terrible. And now we're starting to talk like the Steelers are good. And this is just not the NFL I know. Like, it should be.
Right.
The Giants should be live. And they were.
Yep.
But they ran a 2-point conversion attempt, the likes of which would not be on, you know, Super Dave Osborne would not even stoop to the level of that play for the bit. I mean, it just like the did they ever practice that play?
That's it looked like they had not practiced that play ever. And I love listen, Daboll is a lot to like about his offense and his design. They're in tough there, and he did it not stand out to you like how angry he looks on the sidelines
always
all the time
like.
Every time they show him, I want to say it again, I like him, I admire him, I respect him. Every time I see him like that, I imagine the owner watching his team just going, no. Like I that doesn't look like the Giants to me. The Giants to me are very buttoned up. You know, they've got a sweater around their neck, you know, and they're going out somewhere to Montauk for brunch. Like, that's the Giants. They're a very blue-bloody kind of team. And their coach is just like, he just can't wait to let everyone know he did not like what just happened. And I don't know, man. I don't know how that plays with that ownership. Maybe it's fine.
How does it play with the fans?
Right. And so I'm starting to say, that two-point play, I was glad to see Jones as mad as he was. And I don't know who that was directed at. You know, just overall frustration. Like, oh, my God, he looked like, did we not practice this play? What are we doing out here? And I feel like someone should give it back to Daboll occasionally. Like, he thought that was a good idea, and they called that. And I was glad Jones showed some frustration there because he's a pretty stoic dude, Jones.
I don't know. I watched it back, and I wouldn't blame him. You're not saying different.
No.
I wouldn't blame him for what happened there.
No, he should have been mad. I think he
wasn't slow.
No, he should have expected somebody to, like, nobody blocked. Everyone just stood there. Like, they didn't even know the snap count or whatever.
They all waited to see him throw the ball first.
Right.
Like, it was just not on time. Might have been loud. But, you know, in their defense.
Right.
Much the same as what you're saying. I think Daboll has really shown that he can scheme an offense. He's capped by Jones' mm-hmm. relative lack of talent. Like, that's not getting better until Jones is replaced. And maybe Daboll won't be around for that. I think it could have happened already, but similar to Watson, there's big money that they've committed to with him. And so this is probably another situation where he's got a boss telling him not to do it.
I wonder if they're getting close, though, to a Derek Carr in Vegas type of situation. Or I'm trying to think about – there have been a few examples.
Russell Wilson in Denver.
And same thing last year, right. Carr was the year before. Yeah. Where it's like, geez, if he gets hurt, we're on the hook for this next year. Whereas, you know, if we can get out from it, sure, there's going to be money that we're going to have to account for, which, you know, is not ideal. But at least we're not going to guarantee him another $50 million or something. Like, I feel like I've seen that alluded to, but I don't know if it specifically fits that scenario. Like, how motivated the Giants would be to do that. But they got to be getting close. Like, if that is in the window for them at all, they got to be getting close to pulling the trigger on it. Because how much longer are you going to wait?
Yeah, Daboll does not pass a certain test as a head coach for lack of a better word, maturity. And I would probably guess that that's part of what – I mean, he did well. He was successful here, but then he left – and you've got the coldest handshake you've ever seen between Daboll and Sean McDermott. I don't know. I think there's probably a rift there. I think that's probably safe to say. And isn't McDermott kind of the last guy in the world who would
want to deal
with somebody who comes so easily unhinged?
If you're going to run hot, don't run hot around that guy.
What was it in the summer with Hard Knocks with Daboll where he was interviewing – rookies like before the draft and he's got his feet on the table and just like where who's going to be the grown-up,
right?
So you're right. I mean, I think every time you sort of look at the Giants, he's off the rails. Like that was with Tyrod last year at the end of the first half against the Bills,
right,
where he's just like losing it. And I think, not to get too, you know, analytic about it or whatever, but I think someone's instinct to do that is when they're trying to reassign blame. Like, it's not my fault.
Right.
that this just happened. It's why didn't you know? But coaching is both. Coaching is maybe even more preparing players for situations and having them mentally right. Yep. And if I'm a player on his team, I'm always thinking like he just will not take accountability for anything that goes wrong.
Yeah.
And they almost always lose.
Even if he does privately and that makes a player feel better one-to-one, you still are going to feel like you're getting shown up constantly by the guy. And, yeah, I wonder, like, you know, yeah, I agree, generally you're trying to shift blame. I wonder if he just runs so hot that he can't even – he's not even processing that. It's just like, this isn't working. It should be working. We talked about this. Like, he just can't – he just can't keep it in. And I think that's tough. That's a tough gig to have when you can't seem to control your emotions at least enough of the time for it to be a conversation, which I think it is. Like, I think, you know, you watch them in primetime, it's a thing. I think even at this point, the people who, you know, are in charge of, like, what we get to see and when are probably on a, like, get a camera on Dable. Like, something just went wrong. He's gonna flip out on someone. We're going to want it. Because it just happens. It seems like it happens every week. He doesn't have the market cornered on it, but it just feels like he's the guy that I think of for it more than anyone else, showing players up.
Yeah, it could be tough for him. I mean, it's a terrible team again, as usual, and terrible teams are always making coaching changes, like constantly. This is year three, and so maybe he doesn't survive it. And then the next team will have to decide what they want to do, like how they would consider him. And I think he might have a problem because of all this. The question was about the Steelers, who beat the Giants. Here is their schedule. The Steelers will have a lot to say about what happens in the AFC playoff picture.
I don't have this memorized, but they ran it down. Joe Buck ran it down last night. And it is, I think, brutal.
Was that before or after he failed to recognize that the Giants were putting 12 men on the field on purpose? Oh, wait, that was never recognized. No. I'm sorry. So it was not. You're not sure if it was before or after that. It was before it happened in the game. At Washington, by this week.
It was before I fell asleep, which might have been before the 12 men on the field thing.
Pittsburgh and San Francisco are the two teams that have the bye this week. At Washington, are they not an underdog? That's an interesting one. Washington plays this week. I think they play the Giants this week.
I think that's close.
At Washington, I bet Washington's favored. Washington is doing it all. Defensively, scheme, Daniels, like everything looks great there. At home, I would think Washington would be favored there, but still, either way. At Washington, Baltimore, at Cleveland on a Thursday night in November, at Cincinnati, Cleveland again. At Philadelphia, at Baltimore, Kansas City, Cincinnati. Pittsburgh has 9 games left.
And they're sitting on 6 wins.
I think they'll do well to win 4.
I was going
to
say
5. Like, yep. 5 is good.
Yeah.
So that's still 11-6. And that kind of record, if they get there, and, you know, you're going to want to if you're 6-2, is interesting for the Texans and the Bills and the Ravens, of course, because Baltimore has 3 losses. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, they split. 11-6 wins the division, and then the Ravens are on the road. And I think most Bills fans would probably sign for that. You'd rather have that than
them having to go there eventually?
Sure. Yeah, then, like if it's 2 versus 3.
Okay, would you rather play them right away and eventually you have to go to Pittsburgh?
Ravens?
No, if you're the Bills.
Yeah.
Right? You play – the Bills are the 2, the Ravens are the 7. Right? Or you're the 3 and they're the 6.
Sure.
Whatever. Okay, but that's how it matches up.
And Pittsburgh's the 2.
Yeah. Is that – would you rather have to deal with that, get them in your place first, rather than have like a walkover type of wild card game like the Bills have had the last 3 years?
I don't want to have to play Baltimore at all. I would take almost any scenario over playing them at all.
All right.
And that's the kind of team where I don't think it really matters where you play them. You know? Like, the thing about them, and this has been true, we've talked about it, And this is one thing that makes the Bills game there really confusing, is that everybody can throw it on them.
Right.
Baltimore. And Jameis went over 300 in that game. They dropped interceptions, any one of which probably wins them the game.
Especially that late one to Hamilton. I mean, Hamilton had like, he got like four hands on that ball. It was ridiculous.
I think what you want, like, let's say the Bills win 11, which is not even, that's not aggressive.
No,
right,
considering
now
that already have six, yeah.
If the Bills win 11, and it might be better, this is some a form of your point, where the Steelers win 12 or 11 on ties, whichever it is, and top you in the seedings. So the Bills end up, say Kansas City also clears that, and the Bills end up the 3, then you want the Ravens at 11 wins as the 5 playing the Texans. And then the Bills get Denver. Or the Chargers. That's what you want. Then you win and you go to Pittsburgh, maybe. Or you play at home in the second round. Maybe Pittsburgh is so soft as a 12-win team that they get the Chargers or the Broncos and lose. And then that team goes to Kansas City and the Bills are playing the Baltimore-Houston winner. I mean, maybe that's fine.
I am not as worried about it. This evolves, of course. We're through week 8, so there's a lot to go, and opinions can definitely change with more information, more games. The fact that Baltimore is getting thrown on by everyone they play except the Bills has me feel like bring them on. I feel like the Bills had no idea that early in the season what they were really doing with their passing offense. And I just think with Cooper here now and the way they've been working it the last game and a half, I guess I'll say, I feel like they will move the ball on them. I don't know about stopping Derrick Henry, but, I mean, the thing that really hurt them in that game was that they were so bad on offense. I mean, I know Henry ran them over, but if you could score with them, which teams have been doing, I don't feel like Baltimore is – such a cut above that I got to avoid them. It's why I earlier already today and yesterday spent a lot of the day, like, I feel great about where the Bills are and how they look, because nobody looks to me like out of their league. And I know that saying that after having lost their 35-10 might sound ridiculous, but watching the game since then, I feel like that was a one-off weirdo game, and I can't imagine that it goes that way again.
I wonder if, and this is up for discussion, 803-0550, I wonder if Derrick Henry, not Lamar Jackson, but Derrick Henry is the one player Bills fans would say they do not want to see in the playoffs. More than Jackson, more than Mahomes. Like, Derrick Henry has run over the Bills. And, I mean, What more do you need than an 87-yard run on the first play of the game on a Sunday night? Like, just
right.
That game was a lot of things. So I wonder if that's like maybe it's Kelsey. It's kind of an interesting question, and it's also week 9. But what can I say? I'm not embarrassed to admit it. We're kind of close to the conversation about whether the Bills should take December off. I mean, if that's how it continues. 803-0550, again, the number for your calls. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog. We're in the lobby at Roswell Park today. Hockey fights cancer. Friday night, the Sabres host the Islanders. Tickets available. There's donations and different ways you can support it and benefit. You can get your tickets at roswellpark.org/hockeyfightscancer. This is WGR.